Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I picked that hymn because we all seek to behold the face of God. And so the theme there is beholding God's face. And we behold His love. And that's one of the main things about Holy Communion, that we are in communion, that we are enveloped in the love of God and in His unity and in the forgiveness of sins, and heaven touches the earth. And Jesus and our Lord God, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit all desired throughout all history to draw us closer and closer to Himself. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this evening as we contemplate your covenant and are thankful of your desire to draw us close to you every step of the way, and even now as we prepare to receive your sacrament. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Standing outside the Royal Alex, whether it's the Royal Alex Theater, could be any theater, or maybe Massey Hall, excited fans know they case the place. They know which door the stars are going to come out of, where they're going to exit and climb into their limousines to return to their hotel or the after party for the night. Their shared hope as they clutch pen and paper is to get an autograph, to get something tangible that they can bring home besides their memories. But isn't it the dream of all of these fans to have something a little bit more? Maybe friendship or intimacy or oneness with that celebrity that they've come to admire and respect. Maybe invited to enter the circle of new and awesome friends, to be pulled into the limo for a ride to wonderful. Now, that would indeed be something. But even for those who try hard to get close, their celebrity seeking takes years, if ever, before they get into the right place at the right time, where they have that blessed 30-second window where they brush shoulders with or shake hands with greatness. And we've all heard stories of the ordinarily articulate, educated, socially confident person reduced to a downright blithering idiot when they finally do get their chance. And the fantasy remains forever unfulfilled. They have fleeting dreams, but even for those rare, lucky, exceptional ones who become the subjects of Entertainment Tonight installments, who manage to break in or be pulled into, drawn into the celebrity world, the next story written is of unfulfilled expectations. Things like divorce or falling out of friendships or relationships made rocky by all manner of human sin. And sadly, that's how these stories end. So we are left to wonder, will longings unfulfilled be the lot of us Christians who seek the very face of God? Will our experience of seeking friendship and intimacy simply mirror that of those who are immersed in this world? Will it only be the experience of the few, the exceptional, perhaps those that are elevated to saints or spiritual elites? And even for them, will it always be a struggle? It will always be a struggle of inevitable separation in the end. At times, when reading a text like this from the Old Testament, it seems so. that only the elite seem privileged to behold the very face of God and live. And that's what we read in Exodus 24, that then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel went up and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and they ate and they drank. But it was only the chief ones. Indeed, the masses of people could not approach God on his holy mountain. In fact, it was off limits. And besides that, who would even want to approach? As it is written, "For the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel." Exodus 24, verse 17. But what was old was going to be transformed into something very new. God was ever on the move to get closer to his people, all of his people. God was always renewing his covenant with his people and drawing closer all the time, seeking to deepen and expand his covenant from a single person to a family to a tribe to an entire nation, until ultimately his covenant was a desire to be with all the nations we call the Gentiles. The word covenant is used to describe the close relationship which God entered into. He entered into the covenant with Noah, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their family, but especially with Abraham, and afterwards through Moses of the people of Israel. Moses would be his servant to accomplish this. I read on from chapter 24 when I was preparing to preach. Moses was called into the fiery cloud and he was instructed to receive offerings from the people so that a new stage, a new closeness would be developed, a tabernacle would be built. And God said to Moses, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst," because he wanted to be closer. Unlike the worldly celebrities who might talk big about loving their fans and saying how they want to walk and live among them without being able to draw closer to their people, God, on the other hand, takes concrete steps. He works on breaking down the barriers of sin that separate us from his holiness. He says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." Then it's, "Let them build me a temple that I might dwell in their midst and make a court of the Gentiles so that all nations might approach me." Then it's, "Let me assume human flesh that I may dwell in their midst." Then it's, "Let them see my body as the new temple that shall dwell in their midst. Then let me expand my presence, the fullness of my presence, my body and soul, spirit and divinity, under the forms of bread and wine, that I might dwell in their midst. This is the New Testament in my blood," Jesus says. Before that, there was only the foreshadowing of the great sacrificial lamb, Jesus, who was to come. And there was the blood of goats and sheep and oxen. And we heard of that. And Moses was dashing it against the altar and dashing it against the people. But now Jesus comes with something more powerful and awesome. He makes a new testament, a new covenant in his blood. And indeed, the people of God, the church militant those who are on the earth and worshiping the Lord Jesus, the church militant and the church triumphant, are drawn together along with the whole company of heaven and the angels and archangels, that heaven itself, if our Lord Jesus, may dwell in our midst. Our unofficial full-time usher, Peter, might record that there's sometimes 46 or 56 or 106 that communed at our altar on a Sunday, but that's never the full count, and I'm certain that he knows that. But he can only record that which he can see. There remains much which he cannot see, and yet the unseen is real. There's the angels that long to look into the mysteries of God and long to see and look upon the face of God, and they do, and the archangels and the whole company of heaven. And each member, whether in heaven or on earth, they care for us, desire to draw close to us, accept us, fellowship with us. It's feasting with us beyond the mortal curtain is what takes place here. And Christ, just as close to us, no matter what our position is along this altar rail, there are no golds or greens or reds like at Maple Leaf Gardens. Our concept of space and time will be altered in heaven beyond all earthly comprehension. I'm going to be as near to Jesus as you shall be. How that will be, I do not know, but it shall be. Jesus will be just as available for you as for me, even if we are but the doorkeeper in heaven. His blood is poured out for the many. It isn't just intended for an elite few. Our Lord desires that as many as possible be prepared through holy baptism and instruction to receive Him, to be drawn close to Him. I think of the poor Jehovah Witnesses I see standing by the bus station, of all of their beautiful tracks, and knowing that they only really have an empty husk of Christianity. Because in their system, which they call an organization, only the elite, the 144,000, might partake of Holy Communion. And in a worldwide organization of 8.46 million, that's less than 0.02 of their membership. But our God is different than that. He seeks to draw us all close. Our God is drawn closer to us in the sacrament instituted for all of the baptized, prepared for His presence. What a wonderful experience it is to taste and to see that the Lord is good, that the Lord is real. What a wondrous experience to receive true refreshment by His blood, that the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, now as real as His presence is at the altar, we know that it is still just a step along the way, a foretaste of the feast to come. Nevertheless, I am certain that the time of fulfillment is coming when Jesus shall come again, and that's what we proclaim at the sacrament. Proclaim my death until I come. Our God has always been on the move to draw closer to us. He promised His covenant, drawing closer to many each time it was renewed. The prophet Jeremiah looked forward saying, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." And Jesus indeed made His new covenant. On the Thursday, in the night in which He was betrayed, He made the covenant with His precious blood. It was a different kind of covenant. It was nothing dependent on us. Jesus was doing the work. It is a sacrament, a means of His grace, so powerful that our sins are forgiven for the sake of His blood, and heaven is made ours. This covenant is totally dependent on His actions, His grace. It's the Lord's Supper. What a blessing indeed. Let us continue to prepare to meet Him at this altar. In His name we pray. Amen.